Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Round Table on 95.7, The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, off her step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
What up, what up, what up? We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dan alongside Gary St. Jean. Hit us up, 888-957-957. If you still want to relive the magic that was Tuesday night at Chase Center, we are going to get in to Captain Clay's return and all the goodness that came out of Tuesday night. But we do have to start on a bit of a sour note. Earlier this afternoon, Warriors PR with the news update that Warriors guard De'Anthony Melton sprained his left ACL and will undergo further tests. He will not play in the game against the Grizzlies Friday night. An update on his status will be provided when available. And Gary, a lot of good vibes around this team, but this is already the second time that De'Anthony Melton is going to have to miss a stretch of games, and it's coming at a time when he was really starting to integrate himself well with the team. As Steve Kerr said after the win over Oklahoma City, De'Anthony Melton's going to be in the starting lineup going forward, plays well against the Mavericks, and now this.
Well, it's a darn shame. You're absolutely right, Kev, but it just kind of goes with what's going on in the NBA. Whether they're stars or starters or backup players, there's just a rash of injuries. Now, we can get into talk discussion about the length of training camp and all that kind of thing. You know, in De'Anthony's case, he's got a history of some issues injury-wise in the past, and for me, you got to be cautious with this. You know, ACLs are nothing to fool around with, so they've got to really take their time and really rehab and get him back. But what Steve said about him starting, Kev, I just really like this starting lineup now. It really looks sharp in terms of defense to me. When you have him out there with Davis and Green and Wiggins and Steph, that's darn good. You can bring Peyton in to defend. You can bring athleticism and size in with Kuminga. You can bring rebounding in with Looney. You can bring toughness with Podzimski. And Moody just comes in there and does a little bit of everything. So you'd have to step up. The good news, got a lot of guys have been playing. And it's just a matter of what the rotation's going to look like now as they move forward here.
Knee-jerk reaction, Gary. Who do you start on Friday in his place?
Well, I bet it's going to be Podzimski. That's just a guess. I think they like Hield coming off the bench. And Peyton brings something special. And, you know, you could go back to this. You can debate this now because you're not as prolific in terms of shooting the basketball. But you could go to Kuminga and then move Wiggins back to the two spot. That'd be perfectly fine, too. And I'm sure we're going to talk about Jonathan and give him praise for the way he's been playing.
Yeah, he's been playing very well. The Warriors have been playing very well. So let's get in to that Tuesday night to remember at Chase Center against Klay Thompson and the Dallas Mavericks. I got a chance. I got some last-minute tickets to that game, and I got into the building right as they were announcing the Dallas Mavericks starting lineup. So perfect timing. And, I mean, the rollout, the welcoming back of Klay, you had the 400 employees tipping their Captain Klay hats. Got one of the last Captain Klay hats, by the way, the southeast entrance. Literally, my friend got the last one, and then he handed it to me. So big ups to my boy Dari Kalabale for giving up the Captain Klay hat. But, I mean, I just thought it was really well done by the Warriors all around welcoming back Klay. The tribute video that they played right before the game that Draymond got a sneak preview of because he didn't want to see it in live action the first time. Just the welcoming back of Klay, and you could see that he really appreciated it.
Well, you know, the league put the clamps on that thing. It can only be 59 seconds. I think they should have started at 7 and just put all his highlights up there for the people in the arena to see. I would have liked to see more of the three-point explosions, the huge quarter where he scored, 39? And then I would like to see the game he scored 60-plus with, 11 dribbles? And I would have liked to see more of the OKC playoff game there that he just took over. I just love watching that stuff. And you know, the Warriors, first class. They did a great job. You're right, the employees greeting him and all of that kind of thing. But I'm just a basketball nut, and I would like to just see more of Clay's highlights. He handled it great. You know, he's a heck of a pro. I'm happy for him that he had a very good game. And at the end of the day, happy the Warriors won, and it was a great night. And for anybody who was at the game or watching the game on TV, you won't forget that. It's a very, very special night.
And if you were at the game, you want to still relive that night, hit us up, 888-957-9570. Tell us your favorite part of the evening. What was it? The Steph explosion late that we're going to get into, the Clay welcoming back. Quick aside, since you mentioned the 37-point quarter he had against the Sacramento Kings when he did not miss a shot from the field, that same night, it was January 23rd, 2015, the Santa Cruz Warriors were taking on Sacramento's G League team, the Reno Bighorns, and I think it was in the third quarter, Michael Thompson, Clay's older brother, went for 16 or 18 points in that quarter alone. It was a weird kind of cosmic event where both Clay and Michael went off in the exact same quarter against the Kings organization.
That's great.
Let's get to the game itself. And you kind of hit on it already, Saint. Now that it went down this way with, you know, Clay playing well, he goes for 22, Steph's heroics, Draymond's defense, it was kind of the most fitting way, I think, for that game to go at Chase Center, because each of the big three had really huge moments, had big impacts on the game, and it came down to Steph saving the day at the end, and really one of the better regular season games, especially a November regular season game that we've seen in quite some time.
Could not agree with you more. That felt like a playoff game. You have three future Hall of Famers, three guys who will have statues out front of Chase. And what's the common denominator with these guys? They love to compete. So, listen, the deep respect for each other. But when that ball went up, you know, they knew it was going to be a special night. And they gave you their best. And, you know, I hope the fans can understand how well Draymond is playing. He played more five in this game, about 20 minutes worth, and was fantastic. And I thought two plays epitomized his great game. He had that loose ball save on the sideline that he tipped in bounds, and then it went down the other end and Warriors scored. And then he had a big, big, big block. Maybe it was Lively. I'm not quite sure who it was, or Gafford, but he was tremendous. He really was. And then you're just thrilled to see Clay, you know, knock down six threes, probably his best game with a Maverick. And, you know, it was vintage Clay. And then we saved the best for last in talking about Steph Curry. He gave the good night signal. He was phenomenal in the fourth quarter, and I thought he had a tremendous game. You were at the game. Maybe you saw it. It was very clear on TV. Boy, he was fired up.
Yes, he was.
That's as emotional as I've seen him in a regular season game in a long, long time. Boy, they went at it. And Dallas is a really, really good team. I don't think they're playing at the level that they're going to play at as the season goes on. You look at Doncic's line, he goes for 31, 8, and 6, and I'm crazy. I think he's out of shape. And that's from no training camp with the calf issue. He's slowing them down. And they got a heck of a team. And, you know, Washington didn't play. And they're good. But I got to tell you what, nothing but kudos to the way the Warriors are playing. I love they're winning the hustle game. Defensively, they're just getting deflections. They're great on the defensive board. They're rotating. And what's that doing? It's getting out in the open floor. And then they're moving the ball and getting great shots. And what does that spell? Top three or four on both ends of the floor in offense and defense in the entire league. That spells a lot of success.
Yeah, as a result, they are 9-2 thus far. I want to get your thoughts on Clay's performance individually, saying, I mean, 22 points. He had gone like 2 of 13 from 3 combined over the last two games going into that one. I thought it was good to see him get on a heater, hit some huge threes in the fourth. And then how about the post-up of Steph on the first play? And Steve Kerr said post-game that in the locker room before the game, he was telling, he's like, Steph, you're starting on Clay. And then just a big smile spread across Steph's face, and the whole arena went nuts when they saw that Clay was posting up Steph.
Yeah, that was darn special. Left wing, he sees he's got a mouse in the house, so he takes the mouse and backs him in, gets him toward the free throw line or the elbow there, and Steph reaches in, gets the foul, and probably a grin from each guy, but that's something you just don't forget. That's so special. You know, Kev, we've talked how many years now. That to me is the greatest shooting backcourt in the history of the league, and arguably the best backcourt in the league's history. And to see them matched up against each other, gosh, it just felt kind of weird.
Yeah, it really did. And look, definitely the best shooting backcourt in the history of the NBA, one of the best backcourts in NBA history. And when Mark Jackson said it, that this must have been Clay's rookie or second season, I think it was the 12-13 season, Mark Jackson said Steph and Clay are going to be the best shooting backcourt in NBA history, or something to that extent. And people thought he was crazy when he said it, but he was exactly right.
Well, you're right. I mean, people are saying, what? Are you kidding me? And he was a visionary, and there's no doubt about it. And that's when they were so young. But talking about Clay's game, I think it's going to be easier for him to play for the Mavericks with the paint penetration off the bounce by both Kyrie and Luka. And if he gets out on the wing, they're both willing passers to pass the ball ahead. But when those guys dribble penetrate, he doesn't have to work like heck coming off screens and all of that kind of thing, back pick pop and all that. He's just got to get to the drift spot, get in the vision of either one of those two, and they're going to put the ball right on the money. It's an easier game to play the way he's going to be used down there in Dallas than it was here, where in his day, he and Steph drove defenders crazy the way they moved without the ball. They were fantastic at that simple fundamental.
Yeah, and look, I'm watching NBA TV, and there, since the Mavs are on right now against Utah, they were saying something to the extent of, they were mentioning that Clay's only averaging 14.5 points per game. Well, it's going to be almost impossible for him to average more than like 15 or 16 per game this year, assuming Luka and Kyrie are healthy, just because they are so ball dominant and such great scorers themselves. So I'm not worried about that. I think he's having a nice start to his season. Let's go to the phone lines here. If you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. And let's head out to talk with Philmo Mike. Philmo Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Woody? I love when Gary say Gino and y'all take calls. It was definitely an exciting game. And I know that we can't, like, usually when in sales, right, I do sales, you can't, they want you to sell more the next year. So my point to that, how can the NBA, I got 2 points. How can the NBA get to more, like having more, like making the regular season more like that? You get what I'm saying? I know they probably won't reduce games, but they got to do something to make it more appealing for a regular season game, because you don't have all the stars playing. My second point is Gary St. Jean. You know who I miss? Pete Newell. Rest in peace. Ooh. He had a big man camp. Yeah, he had a big man camp. Donald Foyle developed so much from going to that camp. And I just feel like TJD, if they had a like a modern day big man camp where they work on like pop threes, you know, instead of diving, you pop out, hit the little jumper, and then you also dive. I think that would be so big for four, fives, and tweeners like Kuminga. They could still develop your offensive game, you know. At another camp, but come to the Pete Newell big man camp to get your fundamentals and your footwork right. Man, can you talk about that real quick, Gary St. Jean? Thank you.
Well, I got to tell you something. You got game, because you're not only covering the business aspect, you're talking about the game on the floor. And when you bring up Pete Newell, My gosh, you bring a big smile to my face. I met Pete in 1979. Many summers I went over to Hawaii to watch big guys work out there. And just what you're saying, it's about fundamentals, you know, footwork, and knowing how to post up and reading the defense. And then, as you noted, the concept today that's so popular versus big rolling to the basket, which we saw Gafford and Lively do all game. You watch a lot of NBA teams, and we use the phrase pick and pop, where they screen and then they pop to the open three-point line. So you have bigs really working on games on the perimeter. You're right on. And in terms of making things a little bit more exciting, you know, a lot of people are talking about that. Now, I'm not going to get nervous about it, but the ratings the first couple weeks are down for TV. And maybe that's because of the World Series, and we've got football 7 nights a week now. And then we can talk about style of play. And everybody seems to be married to the three-point game now instead of, you know, Shaq O'Neal wants people to post up more and that kind of thing. I will say this to you. I don't see him lowering the number of games, because when you do that, then the players are going to make less money because they get 51% of the gross. And if they're going to give up money, I understand it'd be good physically for everybody in the league to play less. They're trying to play less back-to-backs. If they play back-to-back, sometimes you play the same team, so you don't have to travel as much. So those are big topics of discussion, and you're right on in what you're chatting with us about.
Yeah, no, thank you for the call, Filmo Mike, and we encourage it. Anyone who wants to hit us up, 888-957-9570. I've been thinking about this as well. I mean, I think I'm probably a little out of touch with the normal fan in the respect that I get hyped up for every NBA regular season game. Like, I watch all 82 that the Warriors play, and I'm excited to watch all of them. But I know that I have an unhealthy addiction to basketball, so you really can't take what I say unless there's a lot of grains of salt to go along with it. But I do think the NBA Cup, the Emirates NBA Cup, is one way to combat that. As far as everyone so far has really liked the NBA Cup. Last year really created some intriguing games in November and December. And the first night of the Emirates NBA Cup this year was really, really good. I mean, the Detroit-Miami finish with the Eric Spoelstra Michigan Wolverines-esque timeout, with Jalen Rose in attendance nonetheless. An incredible finish there. And there were some incredible performances last night. Giannis going for 59. Wow. I know it wasn't an NBA Cup game. Wemby having a 50-point game recently. One idea that I've heard to help with the three-point shooting, if you will, since everyone's attempting 40-plus threes per game, saying I'd be curious to get your opinion on this. My broadcast partner in Santa Cruz, Drew Schiller, has floated the idea on the air of eliminating the corner three because it's a shorter three and more efficient shot. You see people just kind of posted up there. What do you think about that idea?
I wonder how far he'd come up. Free throw line extended or
I, yeah, I think
so.
Somewhere
in that ballpark?
I think so.
And someday we're going to move the line further back, unless we're going to start shooting four balls instead of three balls.
I hope no four balls.
No, but I something will happen. Give my man Drew a big high five. Great times with him on NBC Sports, pre and post game. And he always loved to think out of the box. I like that about him. That, and you know what? That's a valid point. That, you know, they're always looking for good constructive ideas to keep making the game better. And I think those are the things they're looking for.
Yeah, well, one thing they're doing in the G League this year, and then we'll get back to Warriors Roundtable instead of make the game better roundtable. But they are, if you shoot a heave at the end of the quarter, if you shoot like a 50-footer or something like that, if you miss the shot, it doesn't go against your field goal percentage. It is a team field goal attempt. So it's to encourage guys to take that shot more. I mean, especially the G League, when the three-point field goal percentage could be the difference between you getting a call-up or a two-way contract or you staying in the G League for $40,000. So, I mean, I hate it when guys don't shoot 70-footers at the end of the quarter. It's such a not a winning play. I understand why they don't, but I think this is something that we're going to see in the NBA within the next couple of years, if not next season.
Kev, just watch coaches roll their eyes.
Yeah.
When guys get the ball with 2 seconds in the backcourt and they dribble twice instead of shooting the ball, coaches just go, S-E-L-F-I-S-H.
Wait. All right. It took me a while. I have not won a spelling bee recently, but.
Well, another way of saying it is that's my good friend Sammy Selfish.
I like it. What you know what else I liked was Steph's late game heroics against the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, 37 6 and 9, hit his last four shots in the last 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And I know that everyone says this on sports talk radio. I've said it before, but I really do hope people are savoring Steph and enjoying every moment. I know I didn't really savor the early dynasty years enough. I just assumed Golden State's going to win the next 5 or 6 titles, even though that's obviously not feasible in professional sports. But like, there's just an inevitability to Steph, and like, we all knew what was going to happen on his night three over Derek Lively, and still nobody could stop it.
Well, I'm going to tell you a quick story. My 5.5-year-old grandson William wears his Curry shirt all the time, and he's got to go to bed, you know, kind of early, so he likes when the games start at 7, and he gets, you know, he just gets so excited about Steph, and it's that way all over now. I was talking to somebody today, I forget where I was, in the old days, it was just the guys sitting around with, maybe at the local pub or getting together and saying we're going to watch the game or whatever. Now he comes along, and all the kids love him, so all of a sudden, girls are loving watching him. And the girls' game has exploded. And we've got all the little guys. And they're trying to launch shots from 25 feet. They're shooting from below their knees the ball. And he's had a phenomenal impact on the game. But look at the way he played. I just, his energy, his enthusiasm, the joy. The guy, he just brings it with a way that very few I've seen in the league do. And I cherish every game. As a matter of fact, I had one bottle left of Priest Ranch, who I was doing some commercials for. Yeah. And that thing disappeared. I was so excited watching that game.
Yeah.
That was a good bottle of Cabernet.
I'm really, really trying to make sure I savor these Steph moments, because look, there's probably fewer of them in the future than there were in the past. But I mean, this guy looks like he could play this way until maybe he's 40 years old. I was just talking with a friend today. There are no signs of slowing down. Yes, I know his scoring is down this year, but if you look historically, the Warriors are usually better off when he's closer to 25, 26 points per game than when he's around 30-ish points per game. Save for the 15-16 season when he was the unanimous MVP, they're usually better off when Steph is closer to 25 points per game. He's at like 23-8, 23-9 right now.
It's probably because they're double-teaming the heck out of him whenever he's in pick and roll or, you know, anything like that. So, yeah, I'm with you. And you know what? When you play with a star, he makes the game easier for you. There's so much energy and eyes on him that you're liable to have a beautiful path to drive to the hoop, whatever it may be, a quick post-up or whatever. If you're in transition, you got, you know, guys just swarming toward him. There's more opportunities for his teammates. You know, I watched LeBron play last night, 3 triple-doubles in a row. Yeah. The two of them, they're just, for these young guys, I hope they know how these guys take care of themselves. That's the first thing. Obviously, they're God-gifted in their skill level. But I love their minds for the game, and they want to be sharp, and they want to be physically right. And it's just special time to watch these guys.
Yeah, and Steph, by the way, he's averaging 6.6 assists per game. That's up from last year. Nearly 1.8 steals per game. And, oh, yeah, 48 from the field, 43 from three on four makes a game and more than nine attempts. And he's only missed two free throws all season. And I think he's missed one in each of the last two games or something like that. But I think he started like 24 or 24, something like that, from the foul line. He's 94% from the line. So the shooting splits are fantastic. He has been really, really good this year. And especially after coming back from that injury that kept him out for three games. Now, I do want to move, and we won't be able to finish everything before this break with respect to thoughts on Draymond. But defensively, you mentioned the block on Daniel Gafford with the Dubs down one in the final 2 minutes or so. Had a great block of Najee Marshall as well, that key to transition layup. I don't know how he saved that into D'Anthony Melton early in the game. That led to the first timeout. I mean, how much do you think Draymond Green is part of the defensive player of the year combo right now? And assuming health, how much of the combo will he be in come April?
The health is going to be a big key. And if they can continue, I'm not saying they got to win 60 games, but if they can win 50 or above, who the heck else are you going to put in there? Don't start giving me Gobert again. I don't know what else you got for me.
Victor Wembanyama is averaging 3.8 blocks per game this year.
Yeah, too young. Okay. And plus, he's got to make threes. So that's a legit name, but I'm biased. And I'm telling you, Kev, his body looks tremendous. He's mentally razor sharp. He's energized. You're seeing a Draymond Green, I think, from 5 years ago. That's how good he looks right now. And I'm going to make a quick point. 20 minutes at the five spot. Well, keep in mind that Trayce Jackson-Davis only played 14 minutes, but he had 9 rebounds. I want you to look at Looney, 14 minutes, 11 rebounds. So your two big guys got 20 rebounds in 28 minutes. That's pretty nice. Right. But you felt comfortable as a coaching staff to play Draymond at the five because you probably felt you were going to move the ball better and get better offensive opportunities with him at that spot. Now, that wears on him. That's a battle for him. But, boy, he rose to the occasion, and he was just tremendous.
Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we still want to get your calls, 888-957-9570. I want to talk about the job that Andrew Wiggins did defensively on Luka Doncic. I do want to touch up on the road trip. Dubs went 4-1 on that five-game road trip, finishing off with a big win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then a look ahead to what's coming up on the schedule for the Warriors as the schedule gets a little bit easier, at least on paper. So you have all that to look forward to on the other side of this break right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken!
What are you gonna do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome ye back to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dan alongside Gary St. Jean. Still talking about that big win over the Dallas Mavericks Tuesday night and Clay's return to Chase Center. You want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. And I now want to talk about Andrew Wiggins and his defense on Luka Doncic. Yes, Luka went for 31, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. And there were absolute stretches of the game where he completely took over and just looked like an absolute wizard out there. But in the fourth quarter, he did not score, largely with Wiggins guarding him. He went 0 for 3 in the field. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say after the game on how Wiggins played defensively against Luka, and then saying, I want to get your take on what Steve said and how Wiggins played. So without further ado, here's Steve Kerr on Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, Wiggs was great. I just think there has to be an accumulative effect on Luka. You can't stop him. He gets to so many shots, so you just have to try to make it difficult. You know, he played 41 minutes. Wiggs was draped all over him, you know, and I thought, you know, maybe that affected the three-point shooting a little bit. He was 2 for 10, so he's such a phenomenal player, but you just make it difficult, and I thought that's what Wiggs did.
You know, Kev, it reminds me of 2022 when they won the championship. When you've got your whiteboard and you're going over the matchups and you just kind of look at them and you say, sorry, you got him tonight. And that means you got Doncic, and I'm looking at you, Wiggs, And he's taking these challenges. I love it. Yeah, 13 for 27 from the floor. Volume shooting. But 2 for 10 from 3 and 6 assists but 5 turnovers. And as I said before, picking him up early, making him turn or spin on his dribble, taking away from his vision, getting up tight on him. He is so, so important to this team. And I know he hadn't shot it well the last couple games, but I think he's really looking like a couple years ago. And with the improved play of Kuminga, I'm going to state to you now that I was asking for more from both of those guys, and we're seeing it now, and it's really paying dividends. Andrew Wiggins is, he's going to score. There's no doubt in my mind. But, boy, what he can do defensively is so, so special. And I'm going to take you back, Kev. That's what Klay Thompson used to do.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. He was the guy who'd get the big defensive assignment. Now, Klay's one of the best shooters in the history of the game, so he added that as well. But Andrew Wiggins is no slouch on offense. His scoring has gone up a little bit this year from last year. It's hovering around 14.5 points to 15 points per game. And a thing about Andrew Wiggins that I think we saw in full display against Oklahoma City is obviously we know how good of an athlete Andrew is, but also how powerful of an athlete he is. And look, you never want to see someone get hurt like Chet Holmgren. Yeah. It hated that he left the game and that completely changed the complexion of that game. But Andrew Wiggins' take into him, he completely caved his chest in. And it's like one of the strongest takes I think I've ever seen anybody have on someone.
Well, he's what you call wiry strong. You know, he's not big, thick like Kuminga. But, boy, he is strong. You're right on. And he looks stronger. I think he did a lot of work in the offseason. He put good time in, worked on his body, his shot. And it's showing. I think he's the guy who's really going to get going. And he's probably going to be the debate will be open as to whether he'll be the second best scorer. Kuminga could be healed. But do it by committee. That's okay with me. And keep playing like that. He's playing winning basketball.
That he is, playing winning basketball for sure. His defense against Doncic late. And I was kind of clamoring for the Warriors from my seat to foul up three. But Wiggins played such good defense on Doncic on that last possession. I mean, he got off a really bad look. I mean, it was just, it was picture perfect to finish that game off.
Yeah, I also thought he shot it early, didn't you?
He did shoot a little early because like Gordon State.
Four or five seconds. I thought he could have made an extra pass, but sometimes you predetermine what you're going to do. And, you know, he loves to get to that 28-foot area and step back on you, and that's vintage Doncic. And, again, just that ability to get up and keep the guy in front of you and pressure the ball and not give him a good look. A lot of praise for Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, I'm going to make a women's college basketball parallel here because when you said predetermined, I'm thinking back to when Stanford won the national championship in 2021. They defeated Arizona by 2 in the national championship game. Ari McDonald was the number 3 pick of that draft that year. But the last play of the game, Stanford's up 2, Arizona has the basketball, and everyone knows it's going to Ari McDonald. And Ari had it made up in her mind, no matter what, come hell or high water, she was going to shoot that thing. And it was really good defense, tough shot, couldn't get it to go. Stanford wins, same kind of situation. I mean, it was a sideline out of bounds instead of bringing it up 94 feet because Dallas didn't have a timeout. But same kind of thing, like everyone knew what was going to happen. And look, Luka can make you pay even when you know what he's going to do. But Andrew Wiggins, just fantastic defensively. And that was on the heels of a big win over the Oklahoma City Thunder to finish the road trip 4-1. And now you're starting to hear people kind of change their outlook, saying on what the Warriors can be and how this road trip finished out with wins over Boston and Oklahoma City is why. Now, Tim Kawakami, I want to play some sound if we have it, Mark. He was on our Willard and Dibs on Wednesday, and this is what Tim had to say about where Golden State stands versus the best teams in the NBA. Then saying, I want to get your thoughts after we hear from Tim Kawakami right now.
I think they're a really good team. You go on the road and you win in Boston, you win Oklahoma City. We know the injuries, absences, but the Warriors had some injuries themselves. You win this game with all the emotions involved. I just think they're kind of in that bracket now, you know, probably below Boston and Oklahoma City and maybe Cleveland. I think we could say that from the game that they played at Cleveland, they might be behind Cleveland. But right there, you know, Phoenix and Dallas and Denver, Minnesota in the West. Like, the West is so deep. I just don't think the Warriors are behind those teams right now. And that's a big deal because that gets you out of that, maybe out of that 7, 8, 9 muck with, they've been stuck in a few years where you're just fighting to get out of the play-in and you might get blown out there and you can't get through, or you're playing on the road and, you know, in games 1 and 2 in the first round or second round. Like, that's tough. That's a tough life to lead. Can they get to 3 in the West? Can they get to 4 in the West? I thought it was possible before the season started, and now I think, like, if they got to get to 53 wins to get to 3, they might be able to do that.
Well, Tim's been around a long time. I remember when he came up from L.A. I agree with the majority of things he shared. You know, I think they can get up there in the top 4. Is that win number pretty spot on? Just darn close. You know, it's going to be so important, the injuries. This Holmgren thing is really big, with him being out a couple months, but they've played good, but it'll catch up with them. And Dallas and Minnesota aren't playing that good, and Denver did not start good. Now they're playing very well. And, of course, you know, last night Beal doesn't play, and Durant's out a couple weeks, so... Yeah, the Warriors are right there in the horse race. Now, it's only like 10 games are in that ballpark, so, you know, you only got 70 to go. But if you can keep winning that percentage, you're going to be in the 50s, and that gets you home court. I think at the very worst, they're 5 or 6, and, you know, that keeps you out of that play-in stuff, and you don't want to get in there. That's a wild episode. So,
yeah.
You know, they're off to a great start, and I don't see any reason why it can't continue.
I still think 50 wins has to be the goal for this team. Obviously, a fantastic start. There are going to be rough stretches in this season. There are going to be times where players miss games, like the Anthony Melton. We don't know how long he's going to be out. Is he going to get reevaluated for that sprained ACL? Hopefully, it's not too serious there. But if you can get to 50, I think you're looking at least 5 or 6. And if you can get to 53, like Tim said, you're probably hosting a first-round series. And that's exactly what happened in 2022. They won their last 5 games of the regular season to get to 53-29. That got them the 3 seed and eventually to their 4th NBA championship with Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steve Kerr. And Andre Iguodala, of course, was on that team as well. But look, with respect to the win, and we're going to take a break in just a couple of minutes here, but with respect to the win at Oklahoma City, call me crazy, but I think the second half of that Cleveland game kind of propelled them in Oklahoma City. I mean, last year when they got blown out at Boston for like their big blowout loss, lost by 52, I mean, early in the third quarter, they just started playing deep reserves. Golden State's like, yeah, we won our first 3 games of this road trip, 3-1, we'll take that any day of the week. But they got down 83-42 at halftime in Cleveland, and they really went at the Cavaliers, and they never threatened Cleveland, but they won the second half by a significant margin, and they played pretty well in that second half. I know, look, Cleveland's going to have their foot off the gas, but I in some way thought some of that Uncle Mo carried over to the Thunder game.
Yeah, that guy Uncle Mo, or Mr. Mo, he's a big guy in the NBA, and we're talking about Mo for momentum. For me, the reason why, and you're going to run into, over 82 games, you're going to run into games like the Cleveland game. And it's better to be on the road. You want to take care of business at home. You know, I can share my theory about winning 30 out of 41 at home. And going on the road, you win 20, and all of a sudden you're at 50 wins. But I'm going to share with you, Cleveland's a heck of a team on a heck of a roll, but... The point I was going to make, Kev, is I think that this team is appreciably better defensively than last year's. I think that's a big, big key. Yes, they're rebounding, and yeah, they've got a lot of guys who can make threes and all that kind of thing. But this team is gritty. They're tough. They compete. And I don't need to hear about needing another center or that kind of thing. Who is it that you could get that could make a major, major impact for you to give up a couple of important pieces or draft picks? Those guys aren't there, and it's very, very tough with the salary cap situation the way it is now around the league for anybody to be making deals.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that more on the other side of this break here on 95.7 The Game. Coming back with the rest of Warriors Roundtable right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate?
Not at all. They could be carried.
A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Back here on Warriors Roundtable, Kevin Dan alongside Gary St. Jean, Mark Grandy behind the glass. Got another 9 minutes or so. If you want to get some last-minute thoughts in, hit us up, 888-957-9570. Still want to relive the Tuesday night that was. You want to talk about the upcoming schedule. You want to talk about the trade rumors. We'll discuss it all with you right here, 888-957-9570. And so, Gary, you were getting into this a little bit. Trade rumors and media circles spiking because of this 9-2 start. I personally am always a fan of fewer trades, especially when a team is rolling. And personally, I think it'd be tough to sell the house for someone who isn't Giannis Antetokounmpo. And there's been talk all year about the Warriors needing a second star. What if instead of someone who's giving you 23 points a game or 20 to 22 points a game, you have three guys who are capable, very capable of giving you 15 to 16 a game on a nightly basis, which is exactly what they have right now with Buddy Hield, Jonathan Kuminga, and Andrew Wiggins?
Well, you know, you got to applaud Steve Kerr and his staff because, you know, from coaching the Olympic team and playing a lot of players, he just asked his guys to be really gritty and tough and defend. And he's, don't worry, I'm going to sub for you, but I'm going to get you back in. And he's using that philosophy now with the Warriors, you know, playing 10, 11, 12 guys. Well, history tells you that doesn't happen in the playoffs because people shorten their rosters. I've seen 7, I've seen 8, I've seen 9. Some guys have tried to play 10, and I could see Steve doing that. And it's less wear and tear on Steph and Draymond. So I applaud what they're doing. And any of the names that have been out there, whether it's Butler, Markkanen, that doesn't light my fire for what you're going to have to give up. I'm with you. I'm forgetting somebody else. But you're going to have to give up an awful, awful lot, not only a quality young player or two, but draft picks. And you don't want to do that unless you're absolutely sure that you're getting something really special.
Yeah, I think Giannis qualifies as really special outside
of
that.
Yeah, and Kev, even that, though, how old is he now? What is this, his 15th year?
He's 29. He turns 30 in December.
Well, okay, I would take him.
yeah, I mean, he's just coming off a 59-point game. He has been balling this year. But as we head back to the phone lines, let's hit up Pat in Daly City. Pat, what's going on? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, great. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I love your show.
Thank you, thank you.
I haven't heard anything about what any of Clay's Mavericks teammates might have been saying to him before and or after the game.
Well, Pat, thanks for your call.
Kyrie Irving was around LeBron when he went back to Cleveland. And, you know, he had some experiences himself because he'd been on four different teams. And you can talk about it till you're blue in your face. And you're rational and you're speaking from the mind. But then when you get out there, it's your heart. And it's just the respect and the admiration and just the feel that the people have for you. And I just thought it just typifies to me the Bay Area sports fans. It was a great tribute. And just thrilled for the guy.
He's hit a couple of threes now. The Mavericks are trailing Utah midway through the second quarter, but Clay's hit a couple of threes in this game. He's got 8 points. Luka with 14. As we look towards Friday night's game against the Memphis Grizzlies, they're 7-5, but they're without Ja Morant, injured his hip against the Lakers on November 6th. He's considered week to week, and now week to week can mean a lot of things. But look, I work for Cal Football. I do sideline reporting for them. When Cal Football head coach Justin Wilcox says a guy is week to week, he usually isn't close to playing. I know it's a different sport. I don't know how Dan Lanning of Mark Randy's top-ranked Oregon Ducks does it, or how Lucas Alexander's 4-5 USC Trojans Lincoln Riley, how he handles those kind of things. But if you're saying week to week when there are 3 to 4 games in a week, he probably ain't close yet.
Yeah, he's had a tough run here with all the injuries. And do not forget Bain. That guy quietly is one of our better two guards in the entire league. He's gifted. So you're missing your top two guys, and yet they're 7-5, and they played darn well against the Lakers last night. And you know, I'm watching them that game because of my son Greg. Jaren Jackson's playing terrific. And Greg and I were talking today, and he had told me, he said, Dad, they got a lot of guys that can play, and they play hard, and they just cut hard to the basket. Like, I didn't know much about Aldama and Huff, and Scottie Pippen's son played a heck of a game. They got a draft pick, this kid Wells. Edie played good again, and Luke Kennard just makes threes. He could fit in with the Warriors, and Marcus Smart is back. So that team there doesn't look fantastic on paper with the injuries, but boy, they play hard and they play together.
I'm curious what your son thinks of Zach Edey, because he was probably the most polarizing draft prospect last year, maybe most polarizing draft prospect of the last few draft classes. He's come in, had some major games. I was, quite honestly, to put myself on the spot here, I was one of his bigger detractors. I didn't see it. When I watched the national championship game, I'm like, this guy can barely move. How is he going to stay up with the speed of the NBA game? He has made me look absolutely foolish a few times this year, and he has done a lot better than I expected.
Well, Kev, you know what? Don't tell me who you are now. Pete Newell said this. If you're not a top five pick, then tell me who the big guy is in 3 years, because he's got a lot of work to do. The first thing he did, he went to work on his body. He lost weight, but yet he got stronger. He's running the floor better. So physically, that was a big, big concern when you evaluated him. He's a cerebral, smart guy. And I don't know, last night, now Davis had a problem with his eye. He got scratched the game before. And I guess the brightness of the lights down at, I'm calling it Staples, bothered him last night. But the length that they play with Memphis is dirt long. And it's led by him. And, are there things he can't do? Sure. But I'm going to say that this guy, he got 12-8 last night in 26 minutes. Now, he may not look beautiful, but there's some productivity there, and you can understand that it's now looking like a good pick.
Yeah, no, he's been playing pretty well. I'll take 12-8 from him in 26 minutes. And we'll get you out of here on this. We got like 1 minute left, but this is an NBA Cup game, and win this one, they're 2-0 with injury plague New Orleans coming up, and then they could be 3-0 with a game at Denver left. Real shot to win this group if they take care of business on Friday.
Yeah, and you know what? I've noticed, you mentioned that Miami game, and then the Warrior-Memphis game, the Laker-Memphis game. It's just guys love to compete, and when you put something special on the table, I think they rise to the occasion and just give you even more for a regular season game. And I think that's great for the league. You know, people are looking, saying, geez, we're playing 82. It's exciting. A lot of people say, what are we doing here? This doesn't make any sense. I think they found something that can work here. And I think the Warriors are going to be a tough game, but they can win that one too.
Yeah, so tune in. Pregame starts at 6:30 with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call. 95.7 The Game. Be sure to tune in. Tip at 7, Warriors and Grizzlies tomorrow night. That'll do it for us tonight, folks. Big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass, R.C. Davis on the Warriors side of things. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dannon saying adios. We'll talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three, cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.